Get ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servants. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
Can we ask the Lord to help us? Can we plead with the Lord to help us? Oh Lord, we sincerely ask you to help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we are grateful for the privilege we have received. Thank you because your word prevails. Thank you for the confidence we have in you. Lord, again, we present our helplessness that you might allow us to glean from your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. All right, amen. Are you here? All right, we go to the first message today, and I apologize for my in and out. They were necessary for us. Yieldedness, a necessary ingredient for brokenness. Yieldedness, a necessary ingredient for brokenness. Let's just look at our theme text again from Mark chapter 14. And let's read verse 3. Who's reading for me? Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Okay, we are still right here. She broke the what? The box. The alabaster box. And pour it on his head. So that's our theme text. We see that in that scripture, we saw a woman carrying something very precious. Is that not so? That ointment is very expensive. Is that not how that another scripture put it? Very expensive. When you say something is expensive, what does it mean? Eh? It's costly. But this very expensive, very costly, what makes something very costly? Eh? 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 What makes something very costly? Eh? What gives it the quality? Eh? That's what we are talking about. What that thing is, it has a content. What makes that content costly? The quality. What gives it quality?
What it takes to produce.
what the process it took to make it. You didn't follow me to that point. What makes something expensive is that it's costly. What gave it that cost is this quality. What brought about its quality is the process of preparation. Are you following me now? Anything can be poured inside, anything can be inside anything. But this precious ointment that is very expensive, that is very costly, is because of quality. Because of quality. When things are expensive because of quality, what other thing is an ingredient for expensiveness of something? What other thing can we say makes things expensive? That this thing is different from this. This is cheaper than this. Okay, the durability. Now, if I would quickly draw your attention back, we are saying also that it is the usefulness of a thing that also determines how expensive the quality of what it will achieve if it is being used. Is that also? What's the kind of costs that is upon a thing? Also, it depends on the usability, the durability of that usability. How enduring, how impactful. Are we together now? It will be. Now, you take note that there was a breaking before the precious, very expensive ointment inside that box could come out. There has to be a breaking. There was a breaking because it was encased. Is that not so? Oh, are you following me now? It was encased. Now, for the time being, if it is not encased, that ointment that is very precious needs a case. Needs where to stay. Is that not so?
Yes,
it needs where it can stay. Now, for the time being, it needs that thing. It needs that case. That's the alabaster box. Is a very strong stone. It's a stone. A kind of stony kind of nature. A clay nature. Now, it's for the time being, it needs that space. It needs that case. But when it gets to the place it ought to be used, it must be what? Broken. While we carry it about, we need a case. Are you following me? So that it does not waste, we need a case. But when it gets to the place of usefulness, we don't need that case anymore. Did you get me now? Now, why we will trash that later, don't sleep now. Yieldedness, a necessary ingredient for brokenness. What is yieldedness? Can we talk together? Yes?
Submission.
Obedience. Another word? To surrender. Yieldedness. Let's speak the most appropriate word. Surrenderedness. Now, if you see that your eyes wants to deceive you, stand up. Amen. You see, you must have reached a level whereby anytime they are opening scriptures, your eyes must not close. You must reach that point. No matter how baptized you are with sleep, your eyes must not close. By the grace of God, I knew when I got to that point. Yes. If it is the word of God, I will stand. let me tell you something. Do you want to be someone that God can easily use? You see, whether you like it or not, something will use you. You are not following me. Don't think you are useless. You are not useless. Whichever way, you can't be a useless vessel. Something will use you. If it is not the Lord using you, it is the devil that will use you. You can't be useless. Tell someone to say, you can't be useless. Something will use you. There is no useless man on earth, though. And there is no useless woman on earth. You are usable. The only issue here is, who will use you? Now, some people may claim that, no, devil cannot use me. I will use myself. No. You can't use yourself. Something must use you. So, surrenderedness or yieldedness, Holy Spirit help us. Listen to me. One of the greatest things people are, you know, crying for, especially when we come to the Christian faith, when we are born again, and we have received Jesus, and we find out that the Lord began to lay our feet on victory above sin, and He begins to expose us to a crucial issue. The crucial issue of separation from whatever entangled me before, which I will go into a little bit. Now, when you begin to lay your feet, you begin to discover the true essence of salvation, and you begin to discover that, yes, I'm beginning to walk, you know, in a straight path, walking with the Lord, you will find out the next thing that begins to come to your mind, if you are serious, is that I want God to use me. Now, there is a problem that we must settle first. Why do you want God to use you? It's important though. Some people want God to use them because they like the result of God using people. Do you know you can be saying, God, use me, and your focus is not the God that is using you, but you, the vessel that is being used? You didn't get that. I'm not talking about ministry alone, though. Yes, sir. Any serious person in the Christendom will reach a point where he says, oh God, use me. Use me, Lord. Even though we say something like, use me for your glory. Our focus is not His glory. Even though we claim it is for His glory. Oh, Jesus Christ, help me now. It is that we like the outcome of when God uses people. We somehow believe that when God uses me, I'll be relevant. I will be known. I'll become important. I'll be respected. Oh, you're not following me now. You hear something like, God is using that brother. God is using that sister. And when people talk about God is using me, and I thank God for the way God is using me, what is it most of the time that is at the back of our mind? We like the glory that goes along with God using people. We are dealing with yieldedness. You're welcome, my friend. Yieldedness, a necessary ingredient for brokenness. That's a topic. Now, please listen. I want you to notice, I'm trusting God that God will help you. Amen. God God wants to use us. But listen to this. The way God uses is not the way devil uses. Don't forget, what was the first statement I made? I said you are not useless. If God does not use you, devil will use you. You can't be useless. There's nothing like that. I don't even know why my life is useless. It's not true. Take notes again. What another statement I made. I said that alabaster box, what is inside is what we need. Is that not so?
Yes.
What is inside is very precious. Scripture says very expensive because of the quality in it. So that thing must be carried in a case. Are you with me now?
Yes.
That case is the box. As far as we are concerned, if the box breaks at the wrong time, this precious ointment we waste. Oh, you are not with me now. Eh? If the box break at the wrong time, that content that is very precious, we what? We waste. But at the same time, if the box gets to the place of usefulness and is still not broken, it will still what? It's still a waste. Are you with me now?
Yes, sir.
So please remember that we are dealing with yieldedness. Now, hope you know when that woman got to the place of usefulness. Where is the place of usefulness? To pour it. Oh, hallelujah. We are going back to that. To pour it on Jesus. When she got there, she need to break it. Why? You see, I was trying to study and found out that she didn't open it. Because what is inside is very volatile. Oh, you are not with me. If it's something that can be open, part of the spikenard ointment and fragrance will have what? Will have wasted. That's why she wasn't coming with a openable. You know, there are things that are in a seal that you have to break. Is that not so?
Yes.
It was one of the examples. So when she got there, opening it is not the issue. Breaking, because we are now at the place of usefulness. When God wants to use you, God doesn't have a problem in using you. No. No. Let me tell you something. I repeat this. When you come to Jesus and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are a serious lover of God, the next thing you begin to notice in your mind is that God used me for your glory. Is that not so? How many people are in church who does not understand this? Especially when you look at some pastors. We say we like the way God is using Pastor so and so. Is that not so? And then you see young brothers and say, yes, Lord, use me, Lord. Why are people going to fast on the mountain?
For God to use them.
Eh?
For God to use them.
Now, this is the question. Do I need to fast? Let me ask you.
To become useful.
No, wait. Thank you, brother. Let me say something. What attention with the spoon in our kitchen need to do for me to use it?
Nothing.
Eh?
Nothing.
Why?
Because
this is the place why it was made. The place
Mm-mm.
is there for usefulness.
Eh?
The place is there for usefulness.
Eh? So what makes that spoon not to beg me before I visit the kitchen to use it? Eh? If there is no need, will I use it? Does that spoon need to invite me for usefulness? To say, come and use me.
No.
What makes me use it? My own need.
Yes.
You didn't get me? Lord, I'm helpless now. Help me. I'm learning that one now. Bro Joseph, do you know that there is no day I don't go into kitchen? If I'm in this house, if I didn't go to greet them, I will go and do something. It's so rare that I won't enter kitchen. What makes me to enter kitchen? Okay, let's just say because I'm daddy in the house, I can be busy. There is no day my wife will not enter kitchen. Is that not so? Does the pot need to beg her? You soon. Why?
Because she needs
the pot. Is it the pot that need you soon? Or it is first that I'm the one that need the pot? So, does the pot need to cry for usefulness?
No.
What is the necessary ingredient of the pot? Availability.
Yes.
See, God showed me something I'm trying to share with you. If the pot is dirty, will I wash it?
Yes.
Why? Oh, you are not following me. You are not following me. What makes me wash a pot that I used to cook jollof rice?
Because you
are still being in need of it. Why am I washing it? Because I what?
You will still be in need of
it. Why will I still be in need of it?
Because I will still be in need
of
it.
Oh, you didn't get that. Why did I wash it?
To use it.
To use it.
Yes.
Why am I still going to use it tomorrow? It's a regular need, and this pot has placed now. There's something you have not gotten. I'm going there now. If I wash this pot because it's dirty, I'm washing it because I will need it. Are you with me now? Can I abandon a pot that I need? What will make me, if I abandon that pot, it means I don't have need for that pot.
Yes.
Is that not so?
Yes.
I said, is that not so? Then what makes me, how many of you use a pot now and you quickly went and buy another pot tomorrow?
Oh.
Eh? Why?
It's all right. Because that one available is still useful.
Eh? The one available is still useful.
Yes.
Now, the quality of the pots, who went to get that quality?
Yeah.
Based on what?
Need.
My need. Oh, she didn't get it. If I'm not ready for serious cooking, will I get a pot of that kind of quality? If I buy shabby pots, it's me that has a shabby need. Oh, you are not with me. Oh, I want to take you to scriptures. Because sometimes I think I know, but the Holy Ghost is talking to me. I say, Lord, so in these 21 years I've been working with you, I still don't understand this thing. Get this thing clear. Yieldedness. A necessary ingredient for brokenness. I went to this engineer that is doing our printer. When I got there, I saw a generator. The generator was so old. And he was still using it. Very old generator, Tiger. Old generation Tiger. Big size. I said, because of our generator, I'm trying to learn about gen so that I don't mishandle. Oh, you see that one now? Why am I finding out about those who have used generator before? I don't want to mishandle my own. Because I want it to serve me. Is that not so? When I asked this engineer, you know what he said? I said, how many years? He said, I've been using it, I think, for 13, 15 years. I got more interested. I said, I want my own too, to last me that long. Did the gen talk to me?
No.
Did the gen raise any issue with me?
No.
Who is now planning to take care of our own gen?
You.
Me, based on what? My need. Now, please, let me go back again. You are not useless. Whether you like it or not, something will use you. You are useful. Now, when the woman took that alabaster box before Jesus, at that point, we need that oil. Is that not so? We must anoint Jesus for the burial. We are going to touch that scripture much more in the next session. But I'm dealing with when that woman broke that box. Did it break? I said, did it break?
Yeah.
What will make it break? No struggle. If you are trying to break something and it's not breaking, what does it mean? He's struggling with you. Eh? It's what? That's the word. That's the next statement we are going to now. God bless you, brother. You are here. The reason why I will break you, you will not break, is that you are hard. Are you with me now? Let's bring it back to the... If I'm washing... Oh, hallelujah. If I know that something is hard, if I know that I need to break this thing at the point where I need it, and the thing is hard, will I get that thing? Will I get it?
No.
So who is interested in the quality of what I use? It's me who wants to use something that ensures quality. You are not with me. We are dealing with the first part this morning. That, do you think Holy Spirit is struggling to break you? Mm-mm. Breaking is his ministry. Because you must be poured on Jesus. Eh? Holy Spirit doesn't have problem with breaking you. In fact, he's always ready to break. Because until there is a breaking, this very precious ointment is... Now, you see, because this thing is in a case, we sometimes think the fragrance is lost. Oh, you are not with me. When that woman was carrying that thing about, did anything smell?
No.
Does it look like what is inside is very precious?
No.
The ointment is... Do you know the Bible says the ointment is of spikenard? When I study spikenard, some say spikenard, the other translation says synard. Very, very, very expensive material. For the fact that that woman put that thing, very expensive, very precious, this fragrance can fill everywhere. She's going about, did this man? No, and then as she's going about, will you think she carries something very precious?
No.
Something very expensive.
No.
Again, I said something. What makes something expensive? The quality is what makes it expensive. It's costly. But there's a case. Is that not so? There's a casing that has cased you. There are two applications of that casing that we're going to deal with and we pray. That casing, as you go about with the casing, sometimes even you yourself, if you can't see deeper, you will think there's nothing there. You just go, because when you went about, there was nothing. Oh, please listen, friends. The Lord is dealing with me. When the sister first entered Bethany, did anything smell in Bethany?
Mm-hmm.
Was she carrying something very expensive?
Yes.
But was it obvious?
Mm-hmm.
No. But what was it that we noticed about the alabaster box? If this woman carried, the thing followed. Is that not so? The thing followed. You see, sometimes I'm worried. Let me go back. I'm trusting God to articulate my words, but I've raised three matters now, and I'm going to pick them one by one. Let me finish this one. The thing sometimes about us is that we are looking at the casing, not the ointment. Jesus does not need the casing. What did he need? Is the ointment. And what makes the ointment needable is the need. It's not the ointment that say, come and carry me, come and, because of the peculiarity of, you know, if you read further, Jesus said, what this woman did anywhere the gospel. So because we want to fulfill prophecy, that ointment is needed. Did you write a letter to anybody?
No.
You are the one that want to fulfill prophecy. You will need me. Oh God. Eh? I am humble when God says, I need you. You see, it's humbling that he who can do without a need, I have become his need. Eh? I am needed. It's not ordinary. Listen to me. God saw people there before he called you. So he who is wise did not know you have a problem. Why is he focusing on you? Oh, you think he's unaware that you have a challenge? He says, the ointment is in the case. And I see Satan focus on the case. It's the case. No. You know, don't forget. We are going to deal with two issues. If you break the box before the place of usefulness, what will happen to the very precious ointment? If you get to the place of usefulness and it also did not break, what will happen to the very precious ointment? It's as if it's useless. But when the ointment and the case is on the way to usefulness, don't undermine it. I go back to the first issue. Why am I not tired of using a pot over and over again? The pots I need is useful because I need it. The pot is not useful. Its usefulness is out of my needfulness. So I don't discard what I need. I don't discard what I need. If it is dirty, I do what?
Wash it.
I wash it. Let me ask you. Some of you here, you are at a time, I won't mention your names. One of you brothers, I remember when you spoke to me. When it looks as if God cannot use me, were you not shocked that he still brought you? Why? You are needed. I thought God with me that I remember when I messed up severely. I will forget the administration whereby they sold my tapes. I want to talk very plainly now. People lined up on the queue like this, buying the message. And because of that, certain people came around and said, if this message is as powerful as this, everybody must get it. And then they quickly arranged another meeting somewhere. I come and see people came. Elders came. Like Bro Billy said yesterday, expertise and experience. You remember, that thing was hitting me yesterday. So when they called me up, I forgot the help. Instead of me to remain at the place of availability, because I'm needed, I jacked that message from the hands of the Lord, preached my own message, and when I finished, it was a mess. See, I was so terrible. I wasted people's time. They recorded the message. People still bought it too. You see, sometimes people are blind. Even when you are preaching error, they know because they judged me by the first message. People still bought the second as they were, as no, I just said, Lord, this is, we have blood. It's okay. You know, you can't stop it. Don't buy it. It's an error. It's not from the Lord. No, they still bought it. But let me tell you something. When I finished that administration, I became terrible. Because I messed up. I became so terrible. One person came and shook me and said, You really tried. As I was going, they gave me an honorarium. As they gave me an honorarium, it was as if I was a thief collecting what I did not work for. If I didn't collect an honorarium, I would trek home, and it's far. I felt so miserable. Oh, that day in the bus, I just felt like, you know, so if you have been failing repeatedly, number one, by exaggeration, I used to lie on pulpits. I would, what did not happen, I would say it happened. So many things that just didn't make ministry look good. And I remember, you know, imagine, I said, Lord, I will watch what I say. I will not exaggerate this. I will not pull things beyond normal. Help me, Lord. And I was serious. But God, there again, I messed up. On my way home, I felt miserable. Quietly in my mind, I say, if I've been struggling for over 2 years to preach a sound message, can God ever use me? I was shocked when I got up. I was in my disciples' house. You know, when you get home after administration, you can't pray, you can't thank God, because you just feel like, look at it, this is how I went to that administration, I messed up, I came to that administration, I messed up, all those people are healing me, but I'm empty. I was shocked that the night devotion in my disciples' house, it was open heavens of reading that they were reading. I don't know who undo that devotion at that night, whether it's me or somebody else. And right in that page, oh, Holy Spirit. You see? Oh, you know what shocked me there? Why is it that the day I messed up was the same night of a special devotion? Why didn't Peter have done it since last month? You know what Pastor Debo said? He wrote a true life experience of how he messed up on the pulpit. Preaching a message that was pure error. And somebody stood up in the midst of the crowd and said, sir, you are preaching error. And if, imagine you are the guest minister. And you just said things that were wrong. And someone said, I have a question. And he made mistake by saying yes. And one of them said, you said like this, but in this place, 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 this is what the Bible said. And it was so clear to the old people that you were in error. Highly revered. Respected minister. What will you do if you are doing? Father Debray said that was the end. Imagine you start a ministration, you could not finish it. And he said, yes, the Lord. Oh, you see that day? You don't know what happened to me. Do you know the reason why I stood up and went again to preach? I am what? I'm needed. Not that I'm useful. I'm not useful. You didn't get it. I'm not useful to him. You didn't understand. It's my neededness that enabled my usefulness. If God does not need me, I am not the type that should be here. So you see what you know what I saw God did? He now was. Now, and I say this not because of any reason. God is my witness, what I'm telling you now. I cannot tell you how many corrections God has given me in life. Sometimes when I see people talk to Elbro Winger, I laugh because I can't tell you how many times he does not give up. Sometimes I say, I remember there was a time I was saying to God, but God, you know I'm weak. You know. And I'm sincere. On pulpit, I seem to have a kind of boldness and respect that sometimes I used to wonder. You know I'm weak. Why do you steal? He said, because I need you. I saw other people there before I chose you. Are you the only brother here? Are you the only brother in Osun State? Are you the only brother in Lagos State? What do you think made me call you when I obviously saw your weakness? I have a need. You see, that understanding should always make you available. See, I found out that yieldedness is all that a pot needs to be in the kitchen. If it is dirty, who will wash it?
The owner.
Why?
He needs it.
The only thing that makes the pot irrelevant is if it leaves kitchen.
Yes,
sir. You are not with me. If it what? If it leaves the kitchen.
I will bring it back to
He can bring it, but that, just let's say it was missing. We could not see it again. That's the day the usefulness ends. But as long as that pot remains in the place of positioning, this has strung me to. You don't teach this one to babes who wants to go and commit sin. Who will fine-tune my perfectness? The one who needs me. Who will sharpen my options? The one who needs me. What is the my own point? And that is the helplessness. Oh, you are not with me. That's the helplessness. So that is the, you know, like, so look at this. If I'm in this kitchen, I am for you. Is that not so? If you don't use me, and I use myself, that's the helplessness. Oh, there's something that came up to me now. You see, sometimes you want to use yourself. You want to prove to people that you are working with God. Each time you do that, you end up in shambles. You see, you remember when God's servant said yesterday, he said, when you say to that demon, and say, come out in the name of Jesus. And that demon comes out. The next thing is that what? You just say, bring the next one. You know, you forget. Is that, you see, I remember God said to me, I'm not asking you to do much. All I say you should do is be available. Why are you running as if you can do something? I just say be available. Yield yourself. And the only way you will not yield is that you are hard. Do you know? Even when you claim to be hard, as long as you remain available, what will they do to your hardness?
Break.
They will break it. See, I'm about to report to that, not over Jonah, if it gets burnt. And you want to prepare it for the next day, what will you do? You will soak it. Why am I soaking it? When it has been stained by the blackness of yesterday's usefulness. Hope you know sometimes there is the sweat of ministry. Let me put it to you this way. When have you seen somebody walking that does not sweat? Mm-hmm. Serious walking.
No.
Eh? Do you, with all the accumulated sweat of your walking, now you are walking, you are hard working, but if you don't bath, what will those sweat, accumulated sweat and dust, what will it become to you? Smell. So the only way to be fresh is to what? Is to bath. Sometimes we think also that because we are doing ministry, ministry does not have accumulated sweat that can now become smell. Do you know if you are not careful, if I'm not, these were things God was dealing with me even from my last retreat, personal retreat, which I encourage all of you to always not miss your personal retreat. I was shocked that God was pointing me to my personal sweat. And say, you know, sometimes when you are too busy, you forget that you are forgetting yourself. To always check for your availability. So, get this thing clear. God has a need. Please, who created man?
God.
Was it man that said, I want to be?
No.
Hey, who need man?
God.
So that's why even after man fell, he was looking for him. Oh, you didn't get me. I thought when he said repented me that I made man another. Shouldn't he close the race of man?
Yes.
Is there any problem in closing that race? Can't he close it? He is God. But he has a need. God has a what? It is that need that determines the use. So please, let's go back to the first matter. Why are people going to mountains to fast and pray for 80 days and 90 days?
For usefulness.
If there is no need, Can God use them?
Eh?
So if you see a man, you say, we are pressing for my generation, and he's doing that, when the anointing so-called now comes, what do you notice? Eh? You will now see him say something like, by the anointing upon my... Go and take note of such ministries. Do they truly make people disciples?
No.
What does such ministry do?
They heal the flesh.
They what?
They
feed the flesh. Hope you know such ministries. What do they cater for? Promotion? Miracles? Everything is about what? External.
Yes.
People give testimonies for what? External. Hey. I'm shocked that some people are still experiencing Old Testament dimension. That they can pour anointing on your head, but it will not reach your heart.
Yes.
You can carry anointing as it were, but you will not change people's hearts to follow the Lord. You will gather crowd, but that way. Please take note. Why did we say the ointment is expensive? We said quality. We said, what is the other thing that determines quality? We said the durability. How long lasting it will be determines how expensive it will be. Is that also? God is not planning to use me for a time. No. Who is my example? Jesus. Did you ever see that Jesus Christ has been used by God and that's all?
No.
Eh?
No.
God wants what he wants to do with me to be transgenerational. Such that when my casing have left the earth, the impact of what I did has a ripple effect. That's the kind of usefulness God is planning for me and you. So, can I go and break myself before the point of usefulness? Eh?
No.
When you see, sometimes the mistake I have made, thank God I don't make it again. And I'm praying not to make it again. That because there is a need that I feel is my need, I want to go and be used. Oh, Lord help me now. No, we are going there. We are going there. That thing must stop. Who is saying like that? I've looked at if God can, you see, if God can use me to settle that problem, what do you think will happen to me? They will give me honor, respect. But when you notice that until the one who needs me is calling my attention to something, any usefulness I claim, I'll be shocked that it will soon become irrelevant. Does that not bring us back to that helplessness again? That is a dependency for availability. That Lord, if not that you needed me, you will not call me. And can I tell you something? I have studied my Bible. What I said, God, why is it that you like using the unusables? Go and check your Bible. Should we do Bible study a little? Number one. When God wanted to begin the establishment of his covenant, the one directly linked with Jesus, he called Brother Abraham. Are we together?
Yes.
Aha. Don't let us go into all of this. He called Abraham. Are you with me?
Yes.
Did Abraham have a smooth life?
No.
What is the name of Abraham doing in Hebrews 11? And they quietly omitted his mistake with Hagar. Did you see his mistake with Hagar in Hebrews 11? They say he staggered not at all. They say he staggered not at
all.
Excuse me. Did he not stagger?
He staggered. Staggered a lot.
Oh, you are not following me. Oh. No, wait. Did he not stagger? But what's the conclusion of the Bible? He staggered not. Eh? At what? How about he went and slept with Hagar? Did he not produce Ishmael? Is that not part of our problem? But why is it that when they gave his reports, they omitted it? Didn't Brother Paul solve this issue? Why didn't, after sleeping with Hagar, what should God have done? Shouldn't God find somebody else? Eh? Why did he continue with him? Immediately. What did Brother Abraham just simply do? He repented. Can I do a thing and hide it from my friend? Who misled Daddy Abraham? Sarah. Eh? Sarah. Who did they still say we bear the seed? Sarah. I thought that day when she did that, you know, the offense came before the usefulness of Sarah's womb. Eh? Yes. I thought that error. Who misled Adam? Yes. Whose seeds have still bruised the head of serpents? Oh, you didn't get that. Oh, you didn't follow me. Who misled Adam? Who did God still say the seed shall bruise your head? Eh? Did the Bible say the seed of the man? Of the who? But that's the person that scattered the program. Why did God still do that? I need that. Some people think Eve did not repent. Some people think Adam and Eve did not repent because the Bible was silent on it. Where did Seth learn how to call God? Our mother. Didn't you hear the Bible says, and in the days of Seth, people began to call? Where did he learn from? Let it from the blues. Why is it that when it looks as if this thing is God, don't say, but I need. It's my need, not your need. Please, who wants to save souls? Eh? You are the one that wants to save souls? Who wants men to be discipled? Eh? Oh, it's me that want to disciple people for the sake of showing that I'm a discipler. Eh? If I scatter, how many people will scatter? Many. If God needs me to help people and I scatter, it means what he wants to do with me will what? So whose responsibility is my washing? What is my duty? Yieldedness. Helplessness. Availability. God said to me, he said, look, you think if I want to discard you, I will not have discarded you since. Okay, I said we should study the Bible, Abby. Let's think about Abraham. Look, I was shocked. Look at this other brother that strayed into divine covenant, Lot. Do you know what was the Lot's issue? Lot's issue was that he followed Abraham. Is that not so? Mm-hmm. Hey, we haven't ever said that he was called. Is that not so? He wasn't called. Was he called? Mm-hmm. He followed Abraham. Blah, 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 blah. You know the first time, that's how they took him away. Before Abraham and his 300, you remember now, they went to rescue him and brought him back. Is that not so? After again, he chose the side of Sodom and Gomorrah, but I was still shocked. When they wanted to go and destroy, if not that God has Lot in mind, why is he telling Abraham? He didn't get it. Eh? Go and do it. There's a Lot there. And that Lot is linked to Abraham. Let's consult him. When they got there, and they said, if I can see 10, you know 10 was what Abraham gave. They didn't see 10. Please check what the angel said again in your Bible. The angel of the Lord told Lot, he said, escape now, for I cannot do anything until you have escaped. Eh? Oh, you are not following me. I won't be able to do what I want to do if you are not safe. And he didn't plan to leave Lot's wife behind. It was Lot's wife that looked back. If she had responded, yielded, even though they chose the wrong land, but if she had responded by following what God said, would she have become a pillar of salt? Yieldedness is the only requirement for continual usefulness. Excuse me, I ask you again. When, okay, Brother Richard, you check your life. Brother Efe, you check your life. Joseph, you check your life. And let me check my life. Is it because I had the best education? That's why God chose me.
No, sir.
Eh? Is it because you had a very smooth childhood? You have been a winner of several souls. That's why you were chosen? Eh?
No.
Is it because you have gotten it right all the time? That's why God chose you?
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the why you were chosen, why do you think that's what you need to maintain usefulness? Why not change your focus to Him and not yourself? Because He that needs me must be my daily focus. Do you know what I observe? When I yield, He breaks. When He breaks, He uses. When He uses, He is glorified. Let's study the Bible a little further. Go on like that. Who was David? I just want to rush across the Bible. Who was, when they wanted to use Gideon, what did Gideon say? I am the least. So, don't you see that God likes to go to the least, the what does not matter, the unimportant. Yes, God said to Gideon, go in this thy might. Should Ruth ever be in the lineage of Jesus Christ? How? Look at where she crossed from. Eh? Please, what was it that made Ruth an upper? What's the name of that? Yes, upper. What was the difference? Ruth yielded.
Yes.
Upper went back. That's the only thing. Did Ruth do anything serious to be named as one of the great grandmother of Jesus Christ?
No.
What is she just? Your people shall be my people. Your God. I mean, my God. Please take note. And the Holy Ghost led her into the field of Boaz. Is that what the Bible said? No! Yieldedness orders your step unconsciously. Your steps are ordered in a way that you are asking, oh God, when did you start? Let me tell you something. Do you know what? Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Do you know? Let me tell you something. I pray somebody will get this thing. Because in a few years, by the grace of God, you will see that my life arrived there. But I don't want to arrive there. No. I want us to arrive there together. Brother Fortunate, when you take this thing serious, you'll be saying something like this. Lord, when did you bring my life to this point? This is nothing but you. You know why you say, where do you be my life to this point? You have always yielded. You know, sometimes we are the one telling God the degree of how you should use us. You see, these are mistakes that have crippled us. Use me for your glory. What's in our mind? Internationally. Eh? Mommy, you know, daddy,
popularity.
You know, the next broke billionaire. Ah, they'll be opening car for you, and you say we bless God, and then you will stand, and the crowd are there. You know, sometimes some of our minds, the crowds are there, and you just say, give me on key F, please. And some servants of God, when they are trying to preach to us, they will also talk about the days when God was molding them for usefulness. And in your mind too, you want to go and do what? Hide in the secret place. Not because you want to be available. You want to press in so that you can be useful. No. Is there a need? Yes. Have you been called? Yes. Live to God. You be what? You see, it's availability that makes you to be conscious of your quiet time. You know, some people do retreats for Day of Glory. Oh, you are not with me, oh. The day you stop focusing on how God will use you, that's the day you will enter rest. Because anytime you make mistake, what will you say? What will people come to my heart? Will it now mean that God cannot use me again? What is making you afraid? The glory you think your life will miss. Oh, that's a problem. I'm telling you, honestly, as God was dealing with me yesterday, I said, my God. Let me tell you the topic I wanted to preach before the Spirit of God said, I didn't send you that one. I wrote here, I said, continual breaking. God said, see, I cancel it. Here you see. I wanted to form a topic. Listen, you've not listened though. Any deadness. And he began to show me some things. Do you know that when I go to do retreats for the Day of Glory, you know what God said will make me to become, for the fact that I am informed beforehand, is not a reason to run to it. In my power. No. The information is for the privilege of knowing. How to come about it is not in two things. Do you know how to come about it? How many of you know what it means to say author and finisher? God does not start a project that he cannot finish. God does not. If God started you, he cannot but finish you. Oh, are you with me? Amen. Listen. Do you know that? Have you ever made anything in your entire life before, sir? You made something, do something. Whether book, whether Bible, whether anything. Have you ever come up with anything before? A project, an article, whatever?
No.
You've never?
Okay, apart from my school project.
Anything. School project. Have you ever come up with something before and then you finished it?
Yes, sir.
Why did you finish it?
Because I can't just abandon it.
Why? Let's say your school project, for example. Did you do school project?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I graduated then. When you started your project, why did you finish it?
Because
it's the joy that I'm with
when you finish.
Hey! So, why do people finish?
Because they want to.
There is
joy
and satisfaction in finishing. There's a fulfillment in finishing. If you don't finish, where will your mind be? Can you have a certificate when you did not finish? What is the joy that makes you go through all the rigor of university? The joy of finishing. Who authored me?
God.
Who will finish me? Why will he finish me? It's for his own joy. For the joy that was set before him. In finishing, in uttering me, he knows the things he's going to face. See, do you think that when God uttered me, he's not aware that Satan will contend for me? Mm-hmm. What? If Satan is contending for me, what is my own duty? To yield to my author. I don't have any big business to do. I'm coming. We are looking at examples. You will see that the only thing that took people out was that they themselves. They did not. That's why I say yieldedness is still your responsibility. If God, look at that day that you see, it was when we later studied Saul deeply, we saw that Saul is a rebel. Because if you talk about Saul, we should talk about Ananias and Sapphira too. We should talk about Judas. For we have examples in the Bible. You have one responsibility. What's that responsibility? Yield. Don't struggle. Yield. Brother Saul, go and look at it. Did they not see people before they chose him to be king? What do you think made Saul to preserve sheep, preserve the best of the parts of the sacrifice? I mean, he wanted to use the sacrifice. Was it sacrifice he wanted to use it? Could it really have been sacrifice? He wanted to enrich himself. Because if they brought it, shouldn't they have started sacrifice immediately? Was it not that, what is this hearing of bleating of sheep and all of that that I'm hearing you doing? Then he found an explanation. Then another instruction came. Look at what he did. He wanted to use himself. Who is Saul? A king? Is he a priest? When you begin to cross your boundary, that's when I say you want to go and use yourself because you want to prove something. You want to show something. No. When Samuel came, what was Samuel saying? He said, now, the Lord wanted to what? Establish your kingdom. Imagine. Don't you see that in your Bible? That was what was in the heart of God for Saul. So if Saul had yielded, would there be a David? And take note. The dimension of the Old Testament was the absence of the blood covenant of Jesus. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. But the presence of the blood covenant of Jesus made it more stronger. Hope you know that in the Old Testament there was no faith based on the on our Lord Jesus Christ. Was there a faith based on our Lord Jesus Christ? No. Hope you know Peter confirmed that when Christ went to the grave, he had to go and what? Preach to them that they are dead. Is that not so? The mystery of that is left until rapture. What was it that made David different? Was it not that David even did more worse than Saul? What was it? When Brother Samuel spoke to Saul and he was to go, what was Saul supposed to do? Fall down and say, I have sinned against the Lord. Do you know what he's supposed to do? He was still trying to say, don't go away from me. For what? Go and read your Bible. For the sake of the people. Not that he was repentant. When I saw that scripture, I said, Saul will first sojourn. At least if God has taken away the kingdom from me, at least cover me for now in this public place. Let's still maintain it small before you go. Not that it affects. And God said, Stay away with him. When David took somebody's wife, and Nathan the prophet came. You remember? Immediately Nathan said, that person must be killed. And they said, you are the man. What did he do? A broken spirit and a contrite heart. Down. We are dealing. Oh, hope you know that message is a one leg message. Hope you know that. We are dealing with brother, sisters. Can you start yielding easily? Let me tell you something. The only problem God will have with you is what? You are not yielding. That's the only thing. It is not your mistake that is the problem. Even God is working so that that mistake is not repeatable. Are you with me now?
Yes.
Even when you are seem to be shaking, he is labored because of the need. The only problem God... Do you know why a mistake will not continue? You are yielding. Oh, you didn't follow me.
Yes.
I have not continued my own mistakes by the grace of God. Not as if I got it right also at the first time. I must be honest. But this continual yielding. Oh, before we pray, look with me, John chapter 12, verse 40. Oh, Jesus, help me now. John chapter 12, verse 40. Look with me there. Another person should read with me, Mark 6, 52. I just want you to see something there. John chapter 12, verse 40, and Mark 6, 52. Are we all there? Are we all there now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, please.
The Lord has blinded the eyes of the
people.
And he has made the people stubborn. He did this so that they could not see or understand. And so that they will not turn to the Lord and be healed. 41. Isaiah said this because he saw the glory of Jesus and spoke about him. Even then, many of the leaders put...
I'm looking for where it says because of the hardness of their heart. Is that not where it is?
Okay, maybe this version.
Maybe it is a John 12, 40. Because even when you read scriptures that says God allowed them to be blinded, they say because.
He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand.
Read verse 39, 40.
That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, may be fulfilled.
Okay.
Which he spoke.
Uh-huh.
Lord, who has believed our report.
So, what is the first problem? Hope you know this scripture agrees with Romans chapter 1 that says, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Who had believed our report? We kept reporting, but they will not believe. Are you with me? See, what makes God to release somebody to hardness?
Because he
has tried to call. They will know what? They will not yield. That's why Isaiah said, who had believed our reports? See, the context of John 12, start from verse 1. You will find out that they saw like this. They will not. He said, looking, yet they see not. Hearing, yet they what? They will not understand. They are not what? They are not yielded. That's why, don't confuse scriptures. If you must see scriptures like this, you must go to all. That's why I told you, interpreting scriptures must be by content and context. You must now look at, when Isaiah now said, for this reason the Lord God gave them, the Lord blinded their eyes. And then their understanding was darkened. Lest they should repent. You know, the way King James Book put it, as if God did not want them to repent. No! Because if you say God don't want them to repent, then where will, it is not in the will of God that all men should perish. Are you with me now? Read that scripture. Let's see how it sounds in King James. Go on.
Lord, who has believed our report? And for whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Those things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of it.
Now, if you now go back to Isaiah, you know they are trying to quote Isaiah here. Have you seen from scripture that God has been calling the children of Israelites himself to repentance? Don't you know it was a time God now said, I have called you like children, yet you will not listen. Are you following me? So because of this, you have to now bear it. And take notes. This is what? Old Testament before the blood was shed. Are you following me?
Yes.
We have to know how to put scriptures. Mark 6:52. What did he say?
For they have not understood about the laws. Their hearts were hardened.
You see that? Now, that Mark 6:52 is the issue of the loaves of bread. Do you remember?
Yes.
He said, for they did not what? Understand. Because their heart was what? Hardened. Can you tell more? Their heart was hardened. See, some people choose not to respond to God. Look at you must be a good student of the Bible. Didn't Jesus Christ told them that from where did John get his power? What did they say? He will not tell you. They went back and said, if we say that John got it from the Lord, they will say, he will say, why? Don't you see that in your Bible? What is that place? Unyieldedness.
Intentionally.
So you can't be hardened by mistake. Don't say you are hard. You are not hard. You don't know what hardness is. And there is a level where the Bible now says God blinded their eyes. There's a level like that in Romans chapter 1. It's in the Bible. When a person say, God's okay, if that's what you chose, I will release you. To do what is not convenient. He said they did not understand the loaves of bread for the what? But before the Bible said they had in their heart, who has been calling them first? I love Hebrews 3:13. Open to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Are you being blessed?
Yeah.
I said, are you being blessed? Let's move on now. Before we pray, and I ran on, I'm trusting God that there will be help for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Who is reading for me? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
But instead,
warn,
admonish, urge, and encourage.
Start again.
But instead, warn.
Okay, to warn. Okay, instead, can start from verse 12. Can we have another translation before Amplified? See, is there verse 12, my dear?
Yes.
See to it, brothers. A sinful what?
Unbelieving heart.
Did you see that? What is the problem? That turns. Look at it. That turns. What will sinful? What is the sinful unbelieving heart that they are pointing to there? The sinful unbelieving heart is the one that turns away. Not. It's not yet sinful and unbelieving if it stays at the place of availability.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't get it. The mistake is not equal to sinful unbelieving. They say that turns. Next one. Next verse.
But encourage one another.
As
long as it is called today.
See. Go on, man.
So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
See, what is the solution to our brother not being hardened by the you know, sin has deceit. Sin, what is the deceit inside sin? Pleasure. That's the you know, what does pleasure do? It invites you again. Is that not so? What does pleasure do? Why is it that sin carry pleasure? Yes, deceit. Why did sin carry pleasure?
So it can be easily attractive.
So that its destruction can be easy. Can you lick fire?
No. I can never.
No.
Can you drink poison?
No.
What will make poison drinkable?
If something sweet.
Is sweet. It has deceived your tongue. Please, Spirit, help me. I'm having a challenge here now. I pray God helps me. Since 4 days, no food has taste. Maybe you're in my category. I'm shocked. I'm very shocked. I'm not 4 days or more. Brother Joseph helped me yesterday with the issue of the generator. Petrol, it's not, I touched petrol like this, it did not smell at all. Every food, no, as in, you know when you just swallow something? I didn't feel the taste, I didn't smell it. No smell, no taste. Every food I'm just eating. And the Spirit of God spoke to me today. He said, now that you have no taste, can you be tempted with smell?
You can.
You know what I'm saying? Do you know, I found out that I'm hungry, but I'm able to eat little. Didn't get it. Before, if I want to eat little, I will struggle because the taste is what? I will say, But the Spirit also told me that. He said, did you struggle to drop this remaining spaghetti? I said, no. He said, why? He said, because what will attract you is not there. So what makes sin to deceive is the pleasure it carries. And the pleasure is actually a pressure. Are you with me now? The pleasure inside sin, if you could see the end results, is a terrible pressure. But the deceit is that it carries a pleasure. And where is the pleasure most powerful? Not in your spirit. It's your body. But they now said, what is the antidote to destroy the pleasure in sin? Exhort one another daily. So, should you be angry when we are repeating the matter of the path of iniquity to you daily? They say the only way you will be free. Let's, how did they start? They said, everybody should be careful. Lest the sinful, unbelieving hearts makes a man to do what? Turn away from the Lord. Instead of that, exhort, that means through encouragement, admonish, amplify it now.
But instead
one.
Admonish.
Urge.
Encourage.
Did you see that? We warn. We urge. We encourage
one another. Every day.
How many days?
Every day.
How many days?
Every day.
You see, you can't neglect people if you want to really walk this journey. You must have a way to keep contact with the brethren. There is the one another dimension in this journey. Amen. It's important. Go on, please. Let me close that point.
One another every day. As long as it is called today.
So is it when there is a problem that we need to exhort one another?
No.
Is it when you are weak that we need to exhort you?
No.
Eh? Is that what the Bible says? Once any day is called today, and my eyes got open by that scripture. So once today is called today, I shouldn't assume fortunate is all right.
Oh,
you didn't follow me.
Yes.
Eh? I should not assume that he's our brother. It's not just this our brother can be deceived. So if I call him, hope you are doing well. How is your spirits? Hope you are not giving place to the devil. Should he be angry?
No.
If I say that to him, he will say, "Where is my disciple?" But if he says that to me, he may feel that he's disrespecting me. Is it wrong to send me a message and say, "God keep you, sir, as you march on in this journey, not allowing Satan to have the best part of us"? Does that mean Satan is having the best part of me?
No.
They say, once it is today, we should exhort. Eh? If I say to you, "Hope as single brothers, how is the issue of ladies? Hope, should you be angry? Should you suspect me? Why is Robinga suspecting me?" They say, "Why it is to lest your heart is what?" So it means when a person begins to enjoy the deceitfulness of sin, what's the next thing that will happen? Hardness. It will now become intentional and deliberate. Amen. But when a brother or sister does not turn away from the Lord, if that brother will not turn away, if that sister will not turn away, even if he had made mistake, who will wash it? Why? He needs it. Yieldedness. If a man will walk in an unbroken fellowship with God, he must sit down. He must analyze. Am I yielding? My only requirement is my yieldedness. This is the point you want to pray. Let me tell you something. I want you to sit down and look. And I close with this. The casing that encased the ointment is a blessing, but it's also an entrance. Did you follow me to that point?
Yes, sir.
That casing that woman, the alabaster jar, is a blessing to the ointment, but it can also be what?
A hindrance
to the ointment. You carry something that can serve dual purpose. It can be a blessing. It can also be an hindrance. Excuse me. Before the place of usefulness, the casing is for what? Protection. Is that not so? I said, is that not so? But at the place of usefulness, if that casing does not break, it has become what? An hindrance. Your body is a blessing to what you carry. This is your body. You say what? It's a blessing. In fact, Bible says we have this treasure in what? Please, what's the meaning of earthen? The root meaning, when the Bible used the word earthen vessel, what does it mean?
Natural vessel.
Natural vessel. But in context, we have this treasure in a weak vessel. So I'm sure that God placed strength inside weakness. For my strength is what? I can't forget. I don't know. I think I was in Lagos. I was about to minister or something. I don't know. Maybe there's something happened and I was feeling you. I said, "Can I minister?" That scripture case. Say, what is your problem? My strength is not strength in your strength. What makes my strength perfect is in your weakness. Oh, that day I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, you always appear strong. That's your problem. I don't use strong people. I don't use people who can get it right. You know, do you know I like to be perfect? I like to be here. When I say perfect, you know, I like to be, I'm just getting it right. I'm there, I'm here, I'm able to do this. But I find out that I cannot. It is that weakness that makes me helpless. If I'm aware of it. For my strength is made perfect. So we have this treasure in what? Weak. Imagine me that carry authority. I can oversleep. But what did he say I should do when I oversleep? I should turn away. I should still be what? Available. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. If I'm a student of the Bible, the body that Jesus used to carry about himself, did you see that language I made? Did you see that language? The body that Jesus used to carry about himself, is it different from your body? The only reason why that body was sinless is because of what God wants to achieve with it. But is it not flesh and blood like you? It is. So can I ask you? Was Jesus weak like us? let's get the way. We're not talking about sin. But was Jesus as weak as us?
Yes.
In fact, 100%. Let me tell you one of the examples of the weakness. When he got to the fig tree, shouldn't he have known that it's not yet time for figs? Didn't you ever say he was hungry? And when he got there, there was what? But is Bible lying to us? He said he thought he was going to see something to eat. And when he got there, he didn't say anything to him. What did he do? He cursed it. No man will eat from you henceforth. Jesus Christ was tired like me. You know, the first time the Lord said, read your Bible very well. I said I was like you. That's why I became your high priest. Do you remember if I was like you? I struggled like you. Oh, I know that would be strange to you. He said, we do not have an high priest who cannot be touched with our infirmities, because he was in all points tempted like we are. That means the same way you have your own struggles, I struggle. What do you call what happened in Gethsemane? Struggle. I wish I can do something else. Nevertheless, you will, Lord. Yo, you thought it was only Gethsemane? Eh? You know that the Bible didn't give us these details. It means Jesus Christ will want to go and preach, but he'll be feeling sleepy. But what will he choose to do? Yield. What do you say in Gethsemane? Yielding. Is yielding, no? What brought about the fulfillment of our salvation? Yielding. When Peter messed up, why did he go back to look for them? He needs them. Hello? Who went back to Ephesians? How many people did he take along? If you want to backslide, can't you backslide alone? Must you carry the old people to backslide? You know, I'm not paying if somebody wants to backslide alone. But if somebody wants to not carry all my disciples that I labored for and backslide with them, is that an easy thing as a leader? When Jesus went back, what did he say go to do? He went to look for what? For them. Why? He needs them. If it's somebody else, and tell you, if you know that you want to backslide, then go and backslide. No, he went for them. When he went for them, what did he go for? He went to that Peter and called him aside. Why did he call him aside and restructured, reordered, and restored him? Why? He needs it. The The betrayer, the denier, three times. Was that the first time Brother Peter was misbehaving? No. Why didn't he discard him when Peter was rebuking his Lord? You remember?
Yes.
Why didn't he discard him? He what? He needs it. What makes Peter always needable? He was always available. What made Judas Iscariot to be lost? Unavailability. Unyieldedness. This is the point where you pray. The thing God wants to do with my life and your life, who will do it? Who needs to do that thing? Eh? Talk to me now. Who wants to raise disciples? Who wants disciples to multiply? Is it our vision? Oh my God. From the beginning of all times, who wants many sons to be made turn to glory? So why should I kill myself for a ministry? And say, look at me. Lord, do I have enough strength? Enough strength for what? What I want to do? Who wants to do it? Who owns lives that must be multiplied and rescued from darkness? Am I the one?
No.
So, if he needs me, who will equip me? When I focus on my not being equipped, do you know I've missed the point? Who should I focus on? The Lord. So, quiet time is a function of what? Availability. It enables my yieldedness. Oh Lord Jesus, help me now. Help me now. Help me now, Lord. You need to trace, and I need to close this because this is the point the Spirit of God wants me to close with. You need to trace. You need to trace the casing. This case, I said, can be a blessing and what? You need a body to bear what is inside you that God needs. Are you with me?
Yes.
The reason why your own body is a male body is that it's peculiar to the need of God. Are you with me now?
Yes.
The reason why our sister carries a female body is that that body is peculiar to what is inside them. Are you with me?
Yes,
that body is a blessing. Authority on earth is based on a body. Hope you know a goat is more authoritative on earth than a demon.
Yes, yes, yes.
It carries a body.
Eh? Don't respect spiritual. They are nothing. If God open your eyes, you will stop listening to them. That bird doing kokoroko is more authoritative on earth than a demon. Why? Earth deals with materialism, material, physical.
No wonder spirit always look for a body.
So spirits always look for a body to dwell. That's why Satan was struggling for the body of Moses. They wanted to use it to be appearing all around. They want to manipulate something. Body is important to spirits. Even when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, what was he looking for? Building.
Oh.
What?
Body.
The case. Tell somebody by your side. Your body is a blessing. Don't hate your body. Boss. Say boss. It can also be an hindrance. So, your body, the alabaster box, as far as we have not reached the place of usefulness, we need it to carry the expensive. Take note. Sometimes if you look at the jar, you will ignore the beauty that is inside it. The jar is not smooth. It's not a fine jar. It's not the jar we need. It's what is inside the jar. And what is inside the jar is the work of the Creator, not the devil. It's there. It's there. Imagine when the Spirit... Have you read your Bible? When Jesus first of all told his disciples, receive the Spirit, and he breathed upon them. You remember when he first said that? Yeah. You know, the Holy Spirit has not come in dwelling, it was an empowerment. When he was saying that, were they already perfect brothers and sisters? Yeah. Thomas was still doubting, yet he said, receive. Yeah. So we see that what God focuses on is your inside.
Yes.
But what you are always focusing on is what? Your own outside. When a man seems to be weak, all he needs to still do is to be what? Available. For the one who called him in the first place has not discarded. He still needs him. Do you know a scripture came? I don't know when I was in university. It refreshes me. He said, what did I say in John 15? He said, any tree that produces the Father. When I first saw that scripture, you know, but that I was drunk. God said, what can they say it produce? So they purge. So every production needs further purging. If there is no death, they won't purge. Let me tell you an example that one day Bro Billy gave. He said, when you are digging a well, the first thing you start digging out, you dig out dirt, rubbish, and all of that. He said, you dig out sand, red sand. He said, you get to a point, you will touch water, good water.
Yes.
He said, but if you want the purest of the purest, what do? You dig further. He said, when you dig to a point, you now start digging out white sand.
Yes, sir.
He said that it is white. Does not make you stop digging.
No.
Even that thing that is good must be dug. Because as far as what we are looking for is concerned, that good thing is not good for what we are looking for. You didn't get that? God must dig out my self-confidence and dig it away. God must dig out everything that makes me appear capable and make me say, yes, now I've reached a point where I'm strong. God must dig out that one too. So that I will be so helpless to always cry for help. This is brokenness. So the cursing is a blessing. Satan knows the importance of that case. That's why he too is struggling for what? For that case. He wants to control that case. He wants to contaminate what is inside. So he needs that case. So if you want to always yield, find out what is my casing easily susceptible to. Do you know the first way to defeat an enemy is to know his weakness?
Yes.
Please listen to me as I close. How do you defeat your enemy? You must identify the strength of your enemy and the weakness of your enemy. Do you know the day you identify the weakness of your enemy, you will constantly defeat him? Do you know that? Do you know winning a battle is not big? What makes battle tough? There's something my enemy has that I don't know. The strategic plan that I have that did not conquer my enemy is because the weakness of my enemy is not known. When do people surrender in battle? When you strike down their weakness. Once you identify the weakness of your opponent and you touch him there, what happened to him? What will affect your yieldedness is that this your case is still susceptible, closer to an affinity. There's something your flesh likes. Can we go on? Can we go on?
Yes.
There's something your flesh likes. And I want you to know that because the devil does not want this case to reach the point of usefulness, it will be deceitfulness of sin. It will be what? Luring that case away from the hand of the rightful owner. Hope you know your rightful owner is Jesus himself.
Yes, sir.
That's why, do you observe that whatever God, when Jesus Christ died, he did not deliver us from the presence of sin, but from the power of sin. Hope you know that. The death of Jesus delivered us from power, not presence. Because of presence, this casing This is, we are dealing with now yieldedness. This casing has a strong affinity to whatever it is used to initially. Please listen to this. Do you know that when a child is introduced to certain habit from young age, what we know, the same principle of train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, you will know what? Do you know that when you are used to certain habit from childhood, do you know that if you are not careful, you will still find yourself wanting to do it? Eh? Is that not so? That's why the problem, let me ask you, the environment you grew in and the corruption that grew with you, was it your choice? Eh? We're analyzing something. Was it your choice?
No.
You were born into that environment. Your family moved to a certain environment. The problem that happened around your childhood, did you practically decide it?
No.
But do you know that whether you were conscious of it or not, your body was getting used to it? Eh? Eh?
Yes.
Such that after some time it became a grief. What makes it a grief? Constant exposure to a particular thing makes it a grip, which you call addiction. Such that when you want to do like this, it becomes what? Hard to separate. You see, listen, that grip that makes it hard is what the cross came to break. But that thing that is holding you is still like this. It's still standing. But it's no more holding. Don't ever believe it's still holding. The day you believe, you are not free. It's not holding. But it's still there. Yieldedness. You will now see the Bible says, the spirit is what? Fighting the flesh. And the flesh, the spirit. The Bible now said, yield your bodies as servant of righteousness. That means what the cross of Calvary came to enact in you is ability not to be a slave. You must constantly believe it. I'm not a slave. But the presence is there. Can I now tell you this as we pray? Do you think that when you have been used to something for more than 10, 15 years, do you know, as far as your body is used to that thing, your body is still always ready and available anytime you feed it. You'll be shocked that it will pick up like it used to do it. This is something that I've left you a long time ago. That's why those of you who have your body with an affinity to something in the past, you must understand that that thing is still there, ready to fight. Understand it. When you understand your enemy, the easier it is for you. I understood what were my affinities. So, the way you see that, anywhere around that appearance, what must you not do? That is also yielding to the Lord. I'm telling you that you need this yieldedness. When you notice that I can't be deceived, do you know when you deceive yourself by saying the way I work with God, I can never do so and so, is this in life? Assumption is the foundation for confusion. No, I can never do so and so. I have known Christ. No. You know why you can do and not do? Presence and the casing. Hope you know that casing still is where the Holy Spirit wants to do it. So the way, do you remember Romans 8? We study Romans 8 again and again. If ye through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. So your yieldedness is what? Once a month retreat, once in 2 weeks focus on the Lord. What is your yieldedness? A daily acknowledgement of there is a presence and I can do and undo. I don't trust myself. I only trust He that needs me. Oh, are you following me? See, what makes me needed by God is the reason why devils will need me. In fact, when God said he needed me, it increased my attraction to the pit of hell. You didn't follow me. You didn't follow me. When God said I need you, that was also that's what advertised me to the pit of hell. In fact, the reason why I have more struggle is my importance. Eh? Oh, amen. The reason why my childhood was rough is that I'm important. I am needed. That's why it was all rough. Immediately God casted his eyes for a particular issue in my life, my advert went up in the pit of hell. So they will not give up. It's not new. It's not strange. I should not respect it. It's not strange. It's not new. It's not special. Actually, it's because I'm important. The space that God has is the space. Let me tell you something. Are you with me now?
Yes, sir.
The space that God has is the space Satan also wants to have.
Mm.
How can he be struggling for mercy seat, the real mercy seat? Is it me we not struggle for? Excuse me. In heaven, should there be anything like unholiness there? It does not. It's not there. But the real Shekinah presence. You know Shekinah, Shekinah glory. The real Shekinah, gong. The one that you look and you go blind and you die. That real seat of honor and authority that established the whole universe. Satan is struggling for that to the point that one third of the inheritance of heaven he took it. Is it me? He won't struggle for. Satan is not interested in what God is not interested in. But if God is not interested in it, Satan is not interested in it. No, he's not. If once God is not interested in this thing, Satan says, once God focuses on something, Satan will say, that thing must have potential. That thing God is focusing on must have potential. Let's go for it. So that whoever gets it first and gets it regularly gets the product of that thing. So every terrible puller in the world, whiskey, it must have been God is interested in whiskey. Don't you know that if Satan had his way, Michael, Naramali, it means Naramali is important to God. You don't know Satan went for Michael. Imagine if you are getting my game. Hiya. The ark. Chief angel, don't go. Hope you know Satan will have wanted Gabriel. Gabriel will have been a perfect messenger in the pit of hell. Why was he not afraid of the real mercy seat? If he wasn't, is he me? He won't struggle. So his struggle is normal, it's not strange. If he carries me and I seem to fail, it's normal. What did they say me I must do? Remain available. For he who needs me will pick me up again. So analyze what makes your kissing. Because let me tell you something. Some of you, there's an ignorance. You think that you were in something 10 years. That you came to Christ, it will disappear. You lied. Listen. Power, not presence. Power, not presence. He delivered us from the power of darkness, not darkness. Power, not presence of darkness. He translated us. He took the rulership, their power, not their presence. Are you with me? So, for them to gain pseudo power now, illegitimate power, they will use their presence with pleasure to attract you. So quiet time becomes inevitable. You must struggle. You must be helplessly because let me tell you something. In your strength, you can't do your quiet time consistently. I've not done my quiet time consistently. It took me to be begging God for help to be consistent. I'm telling you, Lord, you have to help me to be consistent with this thing. Because I'm important. That's why they are struggling from my heart. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Satan really struggle from my heart. You know, you'll get to a point sometimes in your work with God, you'll be asking, why, Lord? Why? What is this problem? Yes. Why? It's because you are important. What is the greatest error you'll have committed in your entire life? You did not yield. So when you analyze that, this is what my body has been used to, do you wait for that thing to come around and demonstrate your strength?
No.
What do you do always? This is the way to constantly remain on top. I know the things that my body was used to. And I have been working with God. Now I don't assume the body does not know it. It's a lie. He still knows it. Eh? And see, not only that I know it, those times, because of regular practice, it has not mastered it. But in Christ, the thing did not master me. Before, my body has mastered it, the thing has mastered my body. But now in Christ, what the mastery broke. But the presence is still there. Do you know what the devil now wants to do so many times? He brings you closer to the presence of that thing. To check your resistance. Eh? Even in ministry. You know, sometimes we think when we are this, as somebody will say, you people that are doing ministry, I say you are joking. It is those of us in ministry. In fact, we are the first target. Because when the pulpit is corrupt, the pew will be corrupt. You don't know. So you were enrolled for a battle the day you answered the call. And take note, you could have been a banker. You could have been a public speaker, motivational speaker, writing books. Who says you can't be that? You could have been a woman somewhere, selling one thing somewhere, having a big supermarket. Why was it that in your life, your heart was drawn to rescue souls? It's because you are important. You are needed. You were not qualified, you were needed. And once God focused on you, what happened to the pit of hell? So your struggle is normal. Your weakness is normal. You will fall one or two times, but what was you do? He who needs you, ask you to what? Yield. Because your yielding is to help you not to fall again. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
You want to pray at this point. I will not do like I am strong. Did you hear me? I will not act as if I'm strong. But I'm going to throw myself. Excuse me. See the demonstration. Do you know, have you seen somebody that fainted before?
Yes.
If somebody faints, if you don't carry that person, what will they do?
You will remain there.
He will just fall down.
Yes.
And if you see somebody fainting, that means no resistance. May you from today faint in the hand of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. When a man faints, it's because he has no
strength.
But if you will faint, in whose hand should you faint? Because you have no strength. The hand of the person that needs faint in his hand. Because the smoking, the broken reed, it will not break. The smoking flax, it will not quench. Why will he know? You know reed. You know reed. Oh, you don't know reed. You know reed. Reed is not sticko. Reed, yes, reed is not sticko. Reed is one fluffy something. Two lagbara. See understand? Something that is not powerful is a reed. They now say, you know, he said concerning John, he said, when you went out to, did you went back to check a reed? Is John a reed? A reed is not something strong. They now say the reed is more, that is not strong. They say it has broke. They now say a broken reed. When a reed that is not even strong before is broken, what will you do with it? He will now not throw it away. He will still use it like he's using a stick. That's Jesus. What is a flax? A flax is something that they use to make fire. They now say a smoking flax. Smoking flax means this thing is not bringing out fire again. It's bringing out what? Flea, smoke. Smoke that will be pepping people's eyes. What is it supposed to do? When you see smoke, you know, when they are cooking, trying to cook, and the stick is not bringing out fire, what would people say? Please, please, if you cannot make fire of that thing, throw it away. Is that not what people say? If Jesus Christ see a smoking flax, instead of him to throw that flax away, what will he do? He will make it to carry fire. Yeah. Why? He needs it. What will be the greatest error of that reed?
Unyieldingness.
This flax that everybody say, look at you, you are supposed to be bringing out fire. You are just bringing out smoke. Can any good thing come out? I think you have lost your usefulness. Can you say, you know, you will see a question coming like, can you ever achieve that thing God wants you to achieve? Because look at what you did now. They say if it's a smoking flax, he will know what? He won't quench. Why? He needs it. When I saw this thing yesterday, the greatest error of your life is unyieldedness. So, when you yield, you must be better than yesterday's weakness.
Yes.
When you yield again, you'll be better than initial weakness. When you yield again, it is that constant yieldedness that is the necessary ingredient for brokenness. And it's that brokenness that makes you constantly useful. And your usefulness is not because you want to be useful. It is he that needs you. So, if they don't need me in the first place, they will not invite me to come. Close your eyes, let's pray. Mandri Baradino, Skapesh Kavalia. I won't tell you to start praying, but you need to pray and speak to the Lord.